You have your Bibles, turn with me please over to Titus chapter 3. You may remember we finished right in the middle of verse 5, but we'll read all of verse 5 and then begin our study for today. Titus 3, follow along please as I read beginning at verse 5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good works or good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are, and for some, for most, none of this is going to be new. So please don't let familiarity take away from the truth. Challenge those of us who need to be challenged. Encourage those of us who need to be encouraged. Because we want to be better prepared to serve you. So take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we finished last week, we were reminded that he saved us. The finished work, it's all done. Everything that was necessary to provide for you and me, for anyone who would come to the cross and look at Jesus as Savior and Lord, anything that needed to be done, anything that needed to happen was done so that we could see in Jesus salvation. He saved us. That's the gift. He did it according to his mercy, and that's the motivation. He looks at us and sees us as we are, sinners. And it is only out of mercy that he gives us this great gift of his grace. He sees us sorry as we are and says, I love them, I love him, I love her, and gives us this gift of salvation. In this final teaching passage of the letter, Paul answers a couple of questions. Okay, he saved us. Yes, it's according to his mercy. But how? How did this come about? Look at this here, the end of verse 5. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Washing and renewing. Now, salvation is not a two-step process. It's not something that you do the first step, and then you do the second step, and when you're all done, it's done. But he is reminding us that there is more to salvation than fire insurance. in other words. Okay? When salvation takes place, it is by the washing of regeneration. He takes us as we are and washes us clean. It's a regeneration process. He takes us as we are and makes us who he wants us to be. He restores us. But having done that, there is also a renewing process by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he washes us, we're clean, we're saved. But what's next? The work of the Holy Spirit. Renewing us, making us new, making us more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, making us more and more like the one who loves us, the one who died for us. We are his, we are heirs, one of the words that Paul uses, and he just wants us to look like it and act like it. And the process that he uses is the moving, encouraging, prodding work of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's there. He's proof of our salvation. It's not a second blessing. It's not something that you get if you get good enough. No, it's a part of the definition of salvation, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, why is he there? Well, to help in this process. This Holy Spirit, verse 6, whom God poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, now here are some more important words, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the Holy Spirit is a part of this process, moving us from the kingdom of sin and into the kingdom of God, out of the world into the family of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit based upon the finished work of Christ. So he's poured that out upon us. But in the process, then he says, verse 7, so that we're being justified. Now, you probably remember that fancy word, and it has a lot of theological significance, but every once in a while, in the context, Paul is simply using that word as a synonym for salvation. So it could just as easily read that we have been saved by his grace. Remember that from Ephesians 2? Sure. So we have been saved by his grace to what? Well, he says, the hope of eternal life. And almost always, we could just as easily and maybe better understand this as the anticipation of eternal life. See, there's nothing in question here, in other words. I don't hope it happens. It may or may not, but I hope so. No, it's the hope that is the result of simply anticipating. It's certain. It's real. We can't fully appreciate it, but it's already begun. But in anticipation of experiencing it in its fullness. So how has God saved us? And how does that reflect his mercy? Washing, renewing, justifying, and anticipating all that he has planned for us. Why did he do that? Well, there are a lot of reasons. And all we have here is one. But it's important. Why? Well, this is a trustworthy... I love this. Paul goes all out of his way to say in almost every way he could think to, what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. So don't miss it. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Now, we're a little uncomfortable with this because anytime there's any kind of link between salvation and good deeds, we have to be very, very careful. And we know Paul's being careful here. We need to be very careful. He's telling Titus, as you are involved here now in encouraging not just your church, perhaps, but we know encouraging other churches there on the island of Crete, make sure people know that one of the reasons they have been saved, one of the reasons they have been born again, is so that they can do good things, valuable things, good deeds. And to sort of underline it and put it in capital letters, he says, these things are good and profitable for men. What does he mean? And what is the place of works in the life of a believer? Well, at least two, probably more. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his disciples and the others who were gathered there, in chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, now, do your good deeds out in the open so that everybody can see it. Let people see the good things you do. And if that was all Jesus said, we might even take exception with what Jesus said. But it's not. He says, so do that. Do your good deeds out so that everybody can see them, so that, remember how that verse ends? So that your Father in heaven will be glorified. That's the purpose of righteousness, right choices, good deeds in the life of the believer. Here's somebody, and I knew him before he was saved, or I knew him last year, but now I'm looking at him this year, and he's just growing and getting more and more like Christ. And I see that because I see the things that he's doing, and I know that's only because of the work of God. I know that's only because God is working in his life and growing him up and maturing him. He's making better decisions all the time. He's wanting to move outside of himself and help others. That's not how he's normally made. That's not his default. No, he's just like the rest of us. He's regularly, usually, used to be selfish, self-centered, self-serving. But now at every turn, he's wanting to help others. Why is that? In service to his heavenly Father. Giving glory to God. Not for himself, not for him to be noticed, but for his God to be noticed. And then the other reason, awfully close, is it proves or demonstrates the growing process. The more and more we are like Christ, the more and more that we are influenced by and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, The more we mature, the more useful we're going to be in God's kingdom. It's a part of a growing process. We should see these things happening in our lives and in the lives of other believers as well. So it's profitable. It's good. Now, in these last three verses, Paul sort of does a 180. He moves away. But I think it's because of the context of this letter. Remember, Paul left Titus on the island of Crete for the purpose of helping the churches that were there select leaders, select pastors, deacons, elders. Several different names were used to recognize the positions that we have in the church today. And it's sort of a final challenge to Titus. He sticks in this last little section in verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. When it comes to the churches, avoid unnecessary division. Now, are there going to be differences? There should be, if we're paying attention. We're not going to all agree on everything. That's not what this is about. But it's about that bent that almost all of us have, and some of us are bent that way just a little harder, to love a good argument, to love a good discussion, for discussion's sake. And that's what he's talking about here. But don't miss the word foolish. Because that word, Old Testament, New Testament, almost always carries with it the idea of godlessness. So this is not just, this is not a synonym for silly. This is something that at its very heart is godless. So avoid foolish controversies. And look at this list. Genealogies, disputes about the law. You know, that almost sounds like coffee break at seminary. But it's not. It's something more than that. It's bringing up issues, creating challenges, just to sort of start something. Emphasize or make even greater division within the church. And almost always, when there's a discussion about the law, it's just that. I mean, it's about the Bible. It's about Scripture. So what's wrong with our discussing Scripture and maybe even reflecting our different approaches? Well, nothing in and of itself. But if it's designed, if it's set up to create a wedge between others, then he says it's unprofitable and worthless. Now, I've maybe said some things here in verse 9 that you wonder, where in the world did he get that? Well, it's coming here in verses 10 and 11. Paul says, reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Reject a factious man. Well, first of all, what does it mean to be factious? Well, it is just that. It's a man who seems to be, by his very intent, solely only interested in stirring up trouble. And remember, Titus has been charged with helping to select leaders within the church. And I think what Paul is telling Titus is, these are not the kind of men you want. So he says, reject them. Now, your Bible maybe has rearranged this a little bit and says, have nothing to do with him, which is not bad. But I think in the context of the letter, I think Paul is telling Titus, if you go to a church and they're considering this man for a position of leadership, and you're there with them a couple, three Sundays, and you notice that it seems that all this guy likes to do is stir stuff up. All he really wants to do is see if he can get an argument going. I think this is more than have nothing to do with, Titus. I think this is put on the responsibility that I have given to you and tell this church to reject that kind of a man for leadership. Now, do we need men who know the truth and who will stand up for the truth and sometimes find that the truth is not well received? Absolutely. But the purpose there is not to create a problem. The purpose there is to make sure we've communicated the truth. And if you have a problem with that, that's not me. You have a problem with God. But if I set out to just create trouble, period, just for trouble's sake, Paul is telling Titus to reject that man. Make sure that church understands that that man is not fit for leadership. He just wants to cause trouble. As Paul is finishing this letter to Titus, to encourage Titus personally, to encourage Titus as a pastor, to encourage Titus as a leader among pastors, he wants to remind Titus that God saved us. Titus is a Gentile. He doesn't have a Jewish background. He was one of those first that created a problem just by his being when he heard the gospel and accepted it, and the church didn't know what to do with him because most of them were Jewish and they thought everybody had to be Jewish in order to be saved. And here's Titus. Because God loved the world when he gave Jesus. Jesus died for the world, not just for Israel. Titus, he saved us. And as a result of that, you may remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why were you saved by grace through faith in Christ? For good works. Why? Because those good works reflect his workmanship, not yours. You don't get credit for this either. You don't get credit for salvation. You don't get credit for your good works. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. And the good works, well, that just reflects his work in you. And James said it this way, faith, if it has no works, is dead. Just for the what it's worth department, saving faith works. Saving faith demonstrates itself. And in that church, in these churches, in our church, in light of all of that, it's not just a, oh, by the way, it fits. He doesn't want us distracted by unnecessary division. We're all brothers and sisters. We don't need anybody who wants to try and separate us unnecessarily. We're family here, and we will be family for eternity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge, to encourage. And whether this is something that we necessarily need today for the challenge that is ahead of us or not, help us to file this truth, your word, away, so that when we do need it, when we are challenged, when we do need to be reminded, it'll be there. Because you love us. Your Holy Spirit is within us. We have your word in front of us. We are most blessed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.